I always dread switching this thing on because if I've forgotten one button over there, it goes. Praise God for radio mics. Praise God for the day when we don't need microphones. No wires. No speakers. No keyboards. Carrying that thing in and out is one of the banes of our life. And that's the smallest one I could find. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Isn't he absolutely fabberoony?
Yes.
Brilliant. Whoa, smashing. Smashing. Well, I think you're ready for a message. God is so good, you know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen on a day like this. Because they never bothered to tell us. Pray for communication. We're used to it. We've been with Kingdom Faith Ministries for 5 years. So we're used to not knowing what we're supposed to do until we get there, and I wonder why we're not... No, never mind.
It's in the spirit.
It's in the spirit. All right. And I did prepare a message for Sunday morning. But things being what they're going to be on Sunday morning, this would go down like a lead balloon. But God never wastes anything. That's what I really like about God. God never wastes a single thing, you know. Nothing gets thrown in the bin. I know. If anything was to be thrown in the bin, I'd be down there and near the bottom. Right? And some of you would be there with me. You would. You would. God never throws anything in the bin. He always has a good use for everything. Especially people. Something that God's opening up to us, you know, now that we're out there in faith land, in ministry. It's so good being in ministry. Oh, Father, thank you. I could have to work for a living. Well, I could. You know, there's one thing that God has really opened up to me. And it doesn't sound, sometimes the things I say sound hard and harsh and it does offend people. I seem to have this ministry of big feet. we'll get around to that in a bit, but I seem to have this ministry of big feet and it's not intentional. They're only size 8, but they seem to get into other people's toes quite regularly. But the one thing that Jesus has really been showing me is the value of people. The most priceless, precious thing on planet Earth is people. In God's sight, that is. In the world's sight, people are totally expendable. You know, flush them down the loo. Quite literally sometimes. But anyway, people are precious. So whenever I say things that sound harsh, it doesn't come from a non-loving heart. It's coming from a heart that is slowly expanding and opening up to people. Amen. You know, now we've only been in ministry for about eight and a half months. So we're fledglings. We're youngsters. You know. And the church is so fastened and seasoned with men of God who've been preaching for 30 and 40 years. It's sometimes difficult to be a fledgling. It's even more difficult when God has placed a kind of a call on your life, which steps on people's toes, because then you could become a thorn in the flesh, you know, ding. And I mean, I've been asking God, I mean, you shouldn't really ask God questions like this, but there have been times when I've said, God, why me? Why me? Why do I have to stand up and say this? Why can't he get someone else? God never really kind of answers questions like that. He just says, shut up and get on with it. Have you noticed? Have you ever been in a situation where you think, Lord, why me? Why me? I believe God's placed a kind of a call on me that comes from my old life in a way, because I was so shy and so introvert and so insecure as a kid and as an a teenager and even as an adult, that it was painful. But you know, the scripture says that God's strength flows from our weakness, or through our weakness, right? It's not that God's strong because I'm weak. It's just that he allows his strength to flow through the areas where I'm weak, right? And my weakness was shyness, insecurity, and timidity. I was timid. Timid to the point of... And guess what God's done? He converted me. Do you know what conversion means? It means to change from that to that. I sometimes have trouble with Christians who have been converted, but there's more of that than there is of that. He changed me. I'm not just a different person. I'm an opposite person. I'm opposite to how I was. Isn't it funny? So I'll apologize now. You're ready for this. I want to talk to you about radical Christianity. Radical Christianity. Because I really believe that that's what God said. He said, son, you're a radical. Not by anything that's in me, believe me. I just want to run and hide. You know, I shake. I want to go. And my chin goes. And God says, do it. And then I started to think, well, I'm not alone, am I? In radical, being radical. I'm not alone. I'm in very good company. You know, who was the radical? Jesus. Oh, boy. I tell you. Have you ever prayed a prayer? Lord, I'd like to be more like Jesus. Yes. Watch out when he answers it. I prayed a prayer like that. I didn't know about radical in those days. But I prayed a prayer like that. And God is answering it. And he's just recently been showing me this. And he's just taken us through a situation that has just opened our understanding to what being radical really means. I tell you. We went to a church down south, and Carol and I both had this kind of, you know, this rumble you get down here sometimes about situations. Do you know that we call it the gut feeling at Kingdom Faith Ministries? You know. And we just, both of us had this gut feeling that this was going to be trouble. Do you understand? Now, we've been in loads of places and we've done loads of seminars and things. And we've had one or two places where people have shouted out and disagreed with us. Well, that's okay. That's okay. They don't normally do it twice, but... But we both had it, you know. Now, whether we should have gone with that and not gone to this church, I don't know. But I think we did the right thing in going. And we went there. And I actually did say to Carol several times before we got there, I said, this could probably be the first church where we get thrown out. You know, and it very nearly came to that. You're all wondering what's going on now, aren't you? I've got you now, haven't I? Well, just to talk about situations and not people in any way, but situations, right? And just to use a situation to illustrate points, we'll use this. And we were there to do a Saturday teaching day, a seminar thing, as we do. And you know, there was this wall. You can't see it, but you know. You see, I'm not a good musician, right? I'm not a good musician. I just really play from what's inside. That's all I can do, is just play from what's inside. If you give me a piece of paper with chords on it, I go to pieces. Because by the time I've looked at it and thought about it, these have gone on holiday somewhere. And I look back, I lose my place, and by the time I find it, you know, I can't do that. I can't play that way. I never could. I can't play by music. I can't have anything in front of me that distracts me. I just play from inside. That's all. Well, we got to this church and I couldn't play a note. I tell you, nothing would happen. Nothing. So in the end, I just was playing one chord in the bar, I'm playing really safe. And I knew then that something was wrong spiritually. Because what normally is spiritual for me and manifests in a spiritual way was grieved and wouldn't function. It just wouldn't work. So we did some praise and worship, and it wasn't that they were that bad, but there was something, you know, there's an underlying something, you know. It's not the people, it's something underneath, right? And when it comes to do the seminar, and I'm going through something or other, I don't know, you know, you can feel it's bouncing off the walls and everywhere, you know, but you go through the motions anyway because, what else are you going to do? I mean, you're going to say, that's it, I quit and go home. Well, God didn't make us quitters. So you can feel these things ricocheting off the walls, bing, bang, and you see the faces like this, you know, and you think, well, I may as well be eating a bag of chips as it is. I'd have a lot more fun speaking to this lot. And then it comes, you see. I don't agree with that. Well, you know, a red rag to a bull. Because I know what God's called me to do. I'm secure as anything in that. I know what God's called me to do, and I know the message he's given us to preach. I know it. So when someone says, I don't agree with that, I say, I don't care. And I carry on. Because I don't care. This isn't a debate. It's a seminar. You know, it's not here to bandy views between the two of us. I don't care if they don't agree. I know it's God's truth. It's God's truth. So I carry on. But then the Lord stopped me. Right? You know, and I said, I don't care. I carry on. And I said it with anger and venom. And yeah, I did. Jesus said, you nest of vipers. You think he said, you nest of vipers. No way, Jose. No way. When he spoke from inside. You know, and it came out with venom and force and whatever you want to say. Anyway, it came out. I get to it and God stops me. And I've been talking about commitment. Or trying to. And I suddenly realized that this person who had spoken, all the time we were worshipping the Lord and everyone was, you know, worshipping the Lord. This person was kind of fiddling with cardigans and, you know, this kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's total disinterest. And suddenly the bell goes off in here. So I turned around and I tell her, I said, well, you were one of the only ones in here who weren't entering into worship. You were playing with your cardigan. You were looking like this. You were going around. I said it straight from the front like that. Boom. And she went, she did. And stood up and ran out. And two other people stood up and ran out with her. So I said, well, bless her, she's got a problem. We'll pray for her. So we prayed for her. Then and then that she'd be released from the hurt that was obviously binding her. Of course, that was it then. I mean, the wall was then almost tangible. That was it. I mean, it was, you know, say another bang, you know. But we carried on. I mean, it totally destroyed the whole thing, and we carried on. And then Carol was up doing something. I'd sat down, and Carol got up. And then there's a dunk, 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 dunk. In walks the husband. Can you believe this? And he's looking around like this, and I'm sat behind the piano then, up here somewhere, like, you know, Carol's doing something. And he said, excuse me. Bless his heart. I mean, my heart went out to him, really. He said, who's just addressed my wife? I said, it was me. Well, there's no point trying to hide when you sat at the front. It's true. And bless him, my heart really went out to him. And he stood there, and he's like this. And he said, well, don't do it again, he says. And off he goes, you know. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, you know. Oh, Lord. And then, you know, then the pastor joined in. And had to go at me in public. Another red rag to a bull. And there was this ding-dong going on. I thought, that's it, we're going home. We're not having any more of this. She's upset. She's in tears. Floods of tears. You know, I just thought, this isn't worth it. But the pastor, he said, no, stay. You see, he knew that we had something that their church needed. Yes. He certainly didn't like authority. He did not like authority. You see, I went in there and I rocked the boat, you see, because I dared to use God's authority. Yes. And everyone was stunned and shocked and, you know, I was radical. I was radical. Amazing. Jesus, what have you done? What have you done? You see, he wanted me to admit that I was wrong. He said this publicly as well. I mean, we stood at the front, like, you know, there wasn't as many people as this, praise God. He said, you were wrong. I want you to admit that you were wrong. I take back, and well, I mean, you have to think about these things. No one's perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. And, well, it's possible for me to be wrong, but of course it is. But not more than 7 times a day, all right. But I knew in my spirit that that was God. God stopped me because I'd said this and that was it. I was carrying on. And God stopped me, checked me right there. He stopped me and says, no, say this. I knew that was God. So I had to stand up and says, no. I'm not going to retract that. I wasn't wrong. That was God. I spoke a word of knowledge into her life. That was God. I won't take it back. I said to him, Ashley said, no, I won't compromise. You know, and that's what radical Christianity is. It's no compromise. But in the face of some things you wouldn't believe. You see, Jesus never, ever compromised. I mean, in the face of any opposition. Most of his opposition came from the religious ones. And if you check your church history, you'll find that most of the opposition comes from within the church. Especially when it's spiritual. And when someone somewhere starts to rise up in the Holy Spirit, it's always the church that wants to come and stop it. You know, it is. That's where the opposition comes from. The world just basically aren't interested. So there's this opposition. Radical Christianity. You know that I speak about these songs and things, and if you've ever been to any of our seminars, you know some of the things we say. It has to happen one day that these things get back to some of these people who write the songs. It just has to happen. One day, there's still a bomb to go off, but one day it just has to happen. One day. And then it'll be radical time again. I don't look forward to it, believe me. But in a way I do, because until the proverbial hits the fan, it will be locked in secret. And while it's locked up, quietly festering away, it's doing the devil's work. When it comes out to the open, then people will probably take sides, and there'll be people who say, yes, I agree with this. There'll be people who say, I agree with that. You know, it's like demons and deliverance all over again, which is sad. But it has to come out into the open, because that's the way it will be defeated. That's the only way it will be defeated, is to speak out. So Jesus never let an opportunity pass. When something was wrong in front of him, he spoke, and he did it publicly, loudly, and straight to people's faces. And that were the three things that they said I did wrong. You did it in public. Well, tough. Well, she challenged me in public. I only responded, you know. And the manner in which I did it, well, you can't say you're a nest of vipers quietly. You can't say that. And, you know, Jesus went into the temple and made a whip. Do you think he went there? Come on, out. No. You see, he kicked over the tables. Well, that's not very Christian. But it's true. He acted like, they would say, demon. demon. This is the thing is that we don't realize is that these people who are money lenders, they would have had bodyguards. You know? They've got bodyguards today. They would have had bodyguards then. They sat there with the money. They'd have had people with them. And Jesus turfed a lot of them out. Yes. Not one or two. He cleared the lot. And that's a big place. He must have been like something.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. With his whip. Right? Radical Christianity. Who could say that Jesus was wrong to do that? You couldn't find anywhere within you that'd say he was wrong to do that. Radical Christianity. You see, our country is going to change when Christians get radical.
Amen.
You see, passive Christianity achieves very little for the world. It's great for the Christians. There's churches everywhere where people are passive and being blessed like crazy. That's, you know, it's good to be blessed. But what do you do with the blessing when you've got it? This is the thing, you see. God keeps blessing because he's faithful. But if we'll take that blessing and use it, then God will show you something else. You know, you take your finance and use it for God's kingdom. You see what he'll do. You see what he'll do. He'll bless you with finance. So, a little wet behind the ears here seems to be called to be a thorn in people's sides. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 13. This is what this conference is about, isn't it? Prophetic praise and prayer. Prophetic praise is easy. There's no mystery to prophetic praise. It's just praising God for something you haven't got yet. You want a new car, praise him for the car now, and then when you get it, you know, well, but the praise is prophetic. Praise him beforehand. We have these mysterious titles. There's no mystery to them at all. Prophetic prayer, praying into being, which really is already in being. But what we need to see is the revelation of it physically on planet Earth, right? God is the Lord of this nation now. He rules and reigns now, sovereign Lord, ruler, reigner now. But we need to see that physically brought into our reality. Spiritually, it's the truth. You know, this is the problem I have with these words, reality, because if you look with your eyes, you will see what the world accepts as reality. If you look in your Bible, you'll usually see something else. But which one of the two is the truth? The Bible is your truth. Even if you can't see it, the Bible is the truth. That's why we're called to live by faith, not by sight. You know, that's where these songs have gone wrong. They've looked by sight and written songs from what they've seen, which they think is reality. But it's against God's word. Yes. Hallelujah. I'll keep practicing. One day I'll get to preach. Now I'm going to read to you from the Green's literal translation. Which I've got on my computer at home. But you'll be able to follow it dead easy in whatever other version you've got. And we're looking at a situation here in Acts. So let's just go through it and we'll talk as we go. It says, verse 1, and in Antioch some among the existing church were prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon, he being also called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay, so these guys are there. And while they were doing service to the Lord and fasting, you've got worshipping, but while they were doing service to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so then, separate both Barnabas and Saul to me for the work to which I have called them. Now, I know that a slight change is there. This translation is done, well, it's 100 years old, but it's done by a guy who has literally just taken the verbs and the tenses and put them down, even if they don't quite make sense in English. You see, what you've got is a translation which has just been tweaked to make sense in English. And sometimes this one won't quite make sense. Like, separate to me. You probably got separate for me or something like that. But anyway, it gives you a picture. The point is, first of all, calling. Calling. Vitally important in the church. If you're not called, don't go. Right? A lot of the stuff that's going wrong in our church is because people are doing things without being called. No calling, no anointing. That's the way it works. When God calls, he anoints. He's not going to call you to a job and then leave you to fend for yourself. And any job that God calls you to, you're going to be unqualified to do. Because he won't choose strong flesh. That's why he takes people like me who can't speak in public and gives them a job of speaking in public. He wouldn't choose me if I was a really good speaker and could speak proper English. You can be encouraged in that. The more unlikely you are to do a job, the more likely you are to get the job. You see, it's opposite to the world. God's kingdom always runs opposite to the world. What has value here is of no value there. Gold will walk on it. Up there. This is Satan's domain in a way, and he's become opposite to God. God is light, Satan is darkness. I don't want to go down that road, you know that. So, the Holy Spirit said, now first of all, you have to remember that the Holy Spirit came and instigated this, and he was the one who did the calling. It came straight from the Holy Spirit. And he said, separate both Barnabas and Saul to me. In other words, I want them, give them to me. Right? For the work to which I have called them. So, because it's a past tense sentence here, I have called them. The work already existed. And that really is the way that it is in Christianity. We were created to fulfill a purpose. God didn't save us and say, right, what can I get him to do? Because that wouldn't show very good forethought, would it? And our God is a great planner, right? From before the foundation of the earth, he knew that this little scouser was going to do what this little scouser is going to do. Even though right now I haven't a clue what it is myself most of the time. But God does. God knows. And he made me specially to do the job I'm doing. And I delight in that. And you can delight in it too, because it's the same for you, because nothing's wasted. There isn't a Christian anywhere who doesn't have a purpose. Not a one. Anywhere. Every one of us has a purpose and a place in God's kingdom and in the body of Christ. There are no hangers-on. Not in God's sight, there are not. I mean, there may well be some, but they're not in God's plan. There are no hangers-on. Every one of us has a place and a right to be there. Right? Praise God. We'll get on to another verse in a bit. So the work to which I have called them. Let's go on to verse 3. It says, then having fasted and prayed. They liked to fast in those days. Paul was a Pharisee. And Pharisees fasted twice every week. So it's not uncommon and not unusual for the fact that he would carry on that. It was his way. So having fasted, I mean, you know, see what I mean? Having fasted and prayed, and placing hands on them, they let them go. So, the Holy Spirit called, and you notice that he didn't call directly to Saul and Barnabas. There were others there who heard the call. And that's the way your call will come. Church leaders, others who are in authority, will hear the call of the Lord and pronounce it, like happened to us, you know. Come on the platform, you know, you two, on the platform, and your heart goes, Praise God. When God calls you, it will come through a leader or someone in authority. And you only accept words as they come as confirmation. You know that rule, don't you? If someone says, the Lord said to me that you're to go to Timbuktu, you say, fine, I'll see you later. That's if he hasn't called you already to go to Timbuktu. But you'll know. When God calls, you'll know. If it confirms for you, you'll know. And then you can start to consider that word. But otherwise, just say, okay, I'll put that one in the computer and wait for the Lord. Okay, then they fasted and prayed, placing hands on them. They let them go. So the Holy Spirit called, and then the church let them go. They gave them, as it were, to the Holy Spirit in service. Now, churches don't like to give people away. It's true. But that's what it has to be. This is the Holy Spirit's job, his domain. He calls, give them. And what happened? Off they went. It says, verse 4, then these indeed sent out by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is in total and absolute control of this whole situation. He instigated it. He's running it. He's planned it. He's directing it. It's him. The two guys are just going, you know, they're just like little pawns in the game. But the Holy Spirit is pulling all the strings. You got it? So they went down to Seleucia, if that's the way you say it. And from there, they sailed away to Cyprus. Another interesting thing here, you know. They were sent out on mission. And we all know that on mission we're to preach the gospel. That's not basically that's what life's about, isn't it, Christianity? Go and preach. Why didn't they preach in Seleucia? Actually, in your Bible, you might have even one or two other names that they went through. But anyway, they went there. They didn't stop. They didn't preach. From there, they sailed away to Cyprus. And having been in Salamis, they announced the word of God in the synagogues. I like the way they say that. You preached, but it says they announced the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews. And they also had John as a helper. And passing through the island as far as Patmos, so they went, and they were preaching as they went, they found a certain conjurer. Da 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 dum. Ba 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 boom. Well, to say that they found a certain conjurer is not being strictly accurate, because who's leading? So you see, it was planned, you see. The conjurer was found. Trouble. A trouble at mill. They found a certain conjurer, a false prophet. So this guy's a real no-no. Not only is a conjurer, which is totally against everything in God's law, he's a false prophet. And he was a Jew, and his name was Bar Jesus, which means son of Jesus. So Jesus was a common name in those days. Now, verse 7, he was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. So you see, we've got a man here who's a conjurer, a false prophet, he's Jewish. That means everybody will know him because he's a soothsayer. People probably would have consulted him for things. So people know him. Everyone knows him. But to add to that, he's with the proconsul, who was the Roman governor, presumably, at that time. So he's got influence, this chap. Not only is he demonic and that, but he's got influence, and he's got, by the looks of it, the Roman soldiers with him. This one, Sergius Paulus, had called Barnabas and Saul to him. He obviously had heard that they were speaking in the synagogues. Of course, he probably couldn't go in being a Roman. So he called them to him because he wanted to hear the word of God. Okay? Now, this guy, it says he was intelligent, but he was more than that. He was bright. He wanted to hear the word of God. Bless his little cotton socks. Now, because he's a Roman consul, this has implications. This is a very influential man in the whole district. This is a man of power. This man has power of life and death over, right? So, what do you find happens then? Verse 8. But Elymas, the conjurer, for that's the way his name's translated, withstood them. In other words, he tried to stop them doing what they were going to do, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So here we have this demonic man trying to do the devil's work and keep this influential fella away from God. You've got the scenario, you've got the picture. What do Christians do in that situation? Oh Lord. Yeah, pray, bind it, loose it. Do we? Listen, this is radical Christianity. But Saul, who is also Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't though he was doing it off his own bat. Remember, the Holy Spirit has been guiding this, leading this all the way through. Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit and looking intently on him, this is the conjurer, he said, O son of the devil. That's not a very nice thing to say. It's the truth, but it's not a very nice thing to say. If you tried to say that in modern day Christianity, you'd be branded as judgmental. Is that right? Paul was a radical, right? Son of the devil, full of all guile and all cunning. These all refer to his art of conjuring, the magic arts. Enemy of all righteousness. There are people like that around today, have you noticed?
Yeah.
There are. Will you not stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Haven't we got a lot of perversion of the right ways of the Lord in our country today? Haven't we got? Yeah? And isn't it on the increase? Yeah? There are people engineering that. It's not haphazard. You know, there is a plan afoot to corrupt society. And the devil gets his people to the proconsul so that they've got more clout so that they can achieve his ends. That's what this is all about. That's right, you know. But God can get his people in there as well. Now listen, look at this. Verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is on you. In other words, it's not Paul. This is the hand of the Lord. And you will be blind. Well, that's not a very Christian thing to do either. You see, we couldn't conceive of going to the local council because they're stopping you getting your planning application for the worship hall. We couldn't conceive of going down there and saying, you son of the devil. But what else would a person be who's standing in the way of God's purpose? There is only one person who's the enemy of God. It's not the people. But he has his agents. Can you imagine going down there? You son of the devil. Stopping our planning application. The hand of God is on you. You will be blind. Can you imagine how that would get in the papers? I'll tell you something. You'd get your planning application. And they would think very seriously twice before stopping you again. You see, radical Christianity achieves results. Passive Christianity achieves only blessing for the church. You could pray for 450,000 years, but Paul went and did and got results like that. You know. So, matey here, the hand of God was on him. And he would be like, not seeing the sun until a time. So he set a time limit on it of some sort. And he said, and instantly a mist and darkness fell on him. Instantly, this proud, arrogant, powerful, popular type man was brought down. And what did he have to do? It says, going about. You've probably got groped or groped. I like groped better than going about. Can you see the scenario? Can you see the picture? This happened. This actually happened. And it was engineered by God. God could have steered him off in any path to avoid this, but he took him straight to it. You see, that's the way God is. God is radical. God doesn't sidestep issues. And as a church, we've grown into be sidesteppers of issues. And we're going to have to stop that. If we're going to see this nation changed, you know, we're going to have to go and face issues and defeat them. It gets worse, actually, from this, but I mean. So they've done this to this fella. Where are we now? We're in verse 11, leading by the hand. Okay, verse 12. Look at this. Then seeing the thing happening, the proconsul believed. The proconsul believed. You see, there is a place for radical Christianity to be evangelistic. If people can see a living God don't want to get saved. Well, they'd be frightened of him, for one thing. That's fine. I came to the Lord through fear. That's fine. It's healthy to be frightened of the Lord, right? But you see, it will defeat the rubbish that there is about in the world right now, that God is just some distant, far-off, benign being. The church, I speak very general terms, it's perhaps more so in the established church, the traditional churches, but they put forth a God who is so loving and gentle and kind that he couldn't possibly throw anybody into hell. The Bishop of Liverpool has gone in print to say that. He said, I can't believe that a God of love will throw someone into hell. Well, I don't know which God he knows and which God he's serving, but it's not the same one that I know. I mean, there's a simple little example. I mean, look in Revelation, you see that anyone whose name ain't in that book is going in the fire. You know, we need to project the true God. Yes, he is a God of love if you're on his side. if you're not on his side, he's the worst referee you'll ever find. He is, he blows foul every time. So let me just give you a bit more of another side of it. And let's go on. Verse 13. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed for Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. From Perga they went on to Pisidian, Antioch. On the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, Brothers, if you have a message of any encouragement for the people, please speak. So they must have been known in some form, because you don't get to speak in a synagogue unless there's some kind of knowledge beforehand. Okay? Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose your fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He threw seven nations out of Canaan. He slaughtered seven nations so that they could inherit the land and gave the land to his people as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet. Then the people asked for a king. And he gave them Saul of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. You see what he's doing here? He's buttering them up. He's giving them their own history, which they can't argue with. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Ha ha. Ha ha. Have you got a heart after God? Then you will do everything he asks you to do. Even if you have to stand up in front of people and say things which are hard to receive. Or go before the council and say, Hey, you, I want my planning application. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Saviour, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was contemplating his work, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not the one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. Now, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet, in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that they read every Sabbath. They found no proper ground for the death sentence, so they asked Pilate to have him executed. You know what he's just said? They found no proper ground, so they asked Pilate to have him. He's just called them all lawbreakers. Because the law says, you shall not bear false witness. You know? And there they've done it, and he's accused them of it. You see, this is fighting talk. This is serious fighting talk. To say this to the Jews, I mean, you better duck. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days, he was seen by those from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Sorry, this is a long-winded read, but you're getting the message. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Okay? Let's stop there and think about this situation. Verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. So they got a return booking. They were invited back. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. So on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Wow. Now, heavens knows how many people that would be in actuality, but the whole city is the whole city, or almost the whole city. So, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. That spirit is there inside them, you know. Now, this is what can happen. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. So it's what God used this situation to turn Paul to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed to eternal life believed. But the Jews weren't happy. And they stirred up, it says, the prominent women. Well, stirring up the women is one way to get to the men, I suppose. They stirred up the people against these two radicals and had them thrown out. So Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. You know, when you shake the dust, you know what Jesus said happens when you shake the dust. If they won't receive you, you shake the dust, and it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you understand how radical this is and how totally alien it is to modern day Christianity? You would never dream of shaking the dust off your feet against people, because, you know, you're supposed to go and evangelize the people. But radical Christianity doesn't waste time with time wasters. You get that?
Yes.
I'm glad that's on the tape, because I'll never remember that one. We need not to be unkind or uncaring. Paul was a man of compassion, and he went and he spoke. But when they rejected him, and it usually was with a beating of some kind, and threw him out, he shook the dust. Even Jesus himself, when he taught about his body and his blood being the bread and the wine, unless you eat this, you know, and people walked away, they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can take it? And it says that his disciples went, a lot of his disciples went. He didn't chase after them.
Yeah, that's
right. He just let them go.
Yes.
Let them go.
Right.
The devil will do all kinds of things. Isn't that cuckoo? The devil will do all kinds of things to sidetrack you. Now, God wants every man to be saved. And yet we know that not every man will be saved. Read Revelation. What am I saying? What am I saying, Lord? Go to the ones where the Holy Spirit takes you.
Yes.
He is the guide of your life.
Amen.
He will lead you. And he will lead you past maybe 50 to get to one.
Yes.
Maybe. He might lead you, I don't know. He'll lead everybody differently, right? But if you come to a situation like this, be radical. Stand. You see, the radical ones get noticed, which usually means you'll get persecuted. Right? I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You know, we've felt a little persecution, and it's not nice. But that church will never be the same again. I guarantee it. God won't waste a situation like that. That church will change. Oh, or they'll die. Whichever. If they refuse to change, then God will pass over. I don't know. I'm not that knowledgeable. I just know that God leads us as people into situations for a purpose. And this was for a purpose. It was to save the proconsul, which must have had a profound effect on the whole region. Right? And to shut up this lying prophet. You see, the church has lived in peaceful coexistence for far too long.
Yes.
We shouldn't tolerate the enemy. We should squish him.
Amen.
Now, think about this situation. Holy Spirit has led Paul here to this place. The devil has led Elymas to this place. So you have two men and two spirits. The battle is spiritual. But it's played out on ground, planet Earth. Spirit against spirit, but it's man against man. It's the way it is, you know. Paul could have turned tail and said something else or just gone away, which would have left the victory over with the enemy. But he chose not to because he was radical. The Holy Spirit won because his man won. You see that? There's so much that we can do to play a part in this nation of ours.
Yes.
Yes, we can pray. Of course we can pray. We can pray and pray. And it's good to pray because so many churches don't. But prayer on its own isn't the answer. You have to go and appropriate what it is you're praying for. You know? That is spiritual warfare, really, isn't it? And all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Have you ever wondered what that meant? It's verse 48. They honored the word of God, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Well, the others didn't. Draw your own conclusion from that. Now, as someone who has been timid and shy and insignificant, I understand exactly what it's like to be timid and shy and insignificant. Believe me, I know. I was bound up in that for years. And God graciously set me free of it. And I think it's right and proper that people should be set free from that kind of bondage. And it nearly always is men. Sorry, fellas. It nearly always is men. Women are more bold and more willing to speak, in most cases, than men. But leadership is male. It's another one I have to say, sorry, ladies, but leadership is male. And I think it would be good, Gaz, if you want to come and join me, that we pray for people to be released from shyness. One of the greatest hindrances to worship, and more particularly praise, is inhibition. People are just frightened to do it. You know, it won't go. Nervousness. I'm bashful. I'm shy. Well, if you read Revelation, you'll see that the timid ones don't get in. It says cowardly in one translation, but I think in the NIV it says the timid. It says they won't get into heaven. The timid, and it's the first one on the list. And liars and adulterers and things come underneath. Timid is the top of the list. You see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We must understand this. God has given us a spirit of power, a sound mind. In other words, God has made us radical. But it's for us to go and step into it. Step out of the one, step into the other. Right? Radical Christianity will get you noticed. Radical Christianity will get results. Radical Christianity will help you to share in the sufferings of Christ, which is totally scriptural. The word for witness in Greek is matros, which means martyr. It's the same word. However you want to translate it, it's the same word. Either or. Paul said, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Radical Christianity doesn't care about its life. It lays down its life in the name of Jesus. And that might mean in some cases literally to die, to lay down your life. There are thousands and thousands every year, bless every one of them, who get killed because they believe in Jesus. Hundreds of thousands every year. Martyrs. Witnesses. Oh, it's gone quiet now. It's decision time. I really believe that this congregation, which is probably mainly this church, is really ready for this message. You've got your praise and your worship together. I know you have. It's time to go to the next step. And the next step is to get out there and just tell them who you are, what you're doing and why. And come and join us, or, you know, get pushed out of the way. Because that's what happened in the first century church. They saw the miracles. They had favor with the people outside. Because they could see that God was moving in this bunch. And I'm not going to argue with that bunch. Now, doesn't that sound like a nice church to be a part of? Don't you think? Wouldn't it be nice to have the people come to us and ask permission before they release some kind of stupid law or advert or something on the TV? Happened in South America. The owners of a certain bank went to Ray McCauley and said, watch this advert. And he says to them, watches it. And they said, did you see anything wrong in that? He said, I don't think so. He said, good. Because the last one they put on, he boycotted, and his whole church boycotted it. And the bank got to know about it. There's 15,000 people in their church. The bank got to hear about it. And then they came to him and said, does this meet with your approval? Now, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Yeah. It can work. I mean, what must it be like in South Korea where Yonggi Cho's my bar? You know, they were doing a march, and this cult got up and said, right, we're going to stand against you. There's 10,000 of us. We're going to stand in the streets against you. He says, fine, there's 500,000 of us. We'll walk right over the top of you. But isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Yeah. The cult got out the way, of course. Of course they did. Because there's a church. Now, do you understand? There's more for us as Christians to play a part. There's a bigger part for us to play. And if we'll get up and stand up and be counted, we'll have more of a say in this nation of ours. Prayer is one thing. Getting up and speaking is something else. But you need the book. You need the two. You need the two, right? And you can start with small things. Whatever offends you in spirit, when you see it, you know, you can start. I saw something the other day at Mucky Magazine, right? And you can go in a news agent, and it was all the top row, you know, usually women's mags, kids, but all the kids' stuff is all there in the same place, and right in the top row is all bare bottoms and things. And you can stand against that. And if you do, you know what they'll do? They'll pack the magazines in opaque plastic so you can't see through them, except for the name. And you can go in some places and you can see that. Well, it's a start. It means when little kids go in there, they're not confronted by these offensive images. It's a start. I mean, it's a simple example. It's a start. You can do that. As people, you can do that. Communism fell because of people. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hi, guys. In joke, sorry. In joke. There's one man at the back there. I'd really like to pray for you because you're emerging out of shyness. I'd love to pray for you. Yeah. I'd love to. Honest. You also, I'd love to pray for you. Have you come to join too?
Yeah. Bless you. Amen. Second stage, yeah.
Yeah, come. Now you see, these guys, just so that we're all blessed and we all know, you see, these guys stand at the back and you stood in the alcove, but I saw you dancing in the alcove. You can't hide anything from sharp-eyed Wally here. You see, and you're at the back, and you're using your arms in worship. You see, now that's great, that's brilliant. You just keep working forward, row by row by row by row, till you get down the front, right? Because it's precious and special when a man is demonstrative. I heard an amen then. Who was that? Oh, it is. Leadership is male. When the men really rise up, right, we shall see some serious action in our country. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, fear and love. Glorious Jesus. Glorious Jesus.
I just came to praise.
Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand up and just praise God. This is not a show. Praise you, Jesus. So Frank, will you come? Come on, brother. Let's just join together. Right? Yes. Three is better than one.
Amen.
I know that you guys are anointed to pray. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we commit these men who have stood before you into your hands. Father God, see their hearts. Open within them, Lord, a greater desire to step forth in boldness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Father, we rebuke the curse of inhibition.
Amen.
And we rebuke shyness. We rebuke timidity, Father, because it's not your spirit. It's another spirit, Father, and it's not got any place in these men's lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your deliverance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. Right, go, lads. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I set you free from all shyness, all inhibition, and every lie that has been brought against you. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Oh, my precious brother, in Jesus' name, I rebuke every lie that has spoken into your life. Everything that has told you you're less than what you really are, a mighty man of God and a precious child in his kingdom. I rebuke shyness and inhibition out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Strong, brother. Oh, basikara santara basatara tasa. Labo kasebe. My brother, I rebuke shyness out of your life in Jesus' name. I command it to stop in the name of Jesus. And I loose and release you from every lie of the devil that has bound you and told you that you are less than what you really are, which is a precious, mighty man of God. Praise you, Father. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. And the Lord says you're not insignificant. In God's kingdom, mate, you are not insignificant. Believe me. He'll reveal a purpose for you soon. Soon. The plan. Don't be surprised. You will be surprised, but don't be surprised. Because I was surprised, even though I'm not supposed to be. But there's something coming for you. And it looked like a Goliath. But don't worry. Goliath got his head chopped off. Keep away from axes. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. My brother, I just pray for you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I release you from every lie of the devil and every demon that has spoken into your life and has told you that you're not a significant person, but has told you that you have no place and that you've been passed by. I tell you, my brother, no one is passed by God. Every one of us has a place and a purpose, and God has a plan for you. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke inhibition out of your life. I rebuke shyness and timidity out of your life. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll take this one as you took me, step by step, and lead him forward. Lord, lead him forward, step by step, by step, by step. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll make opportunity for this man to be fulfilled, Father, in your kingdom. I pray for fulfillment in his life, Lord, that you'll just reveal to him the plan and the purpose that you've got and unfold it before him, Lord God. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It took about a year for me. From the first step, it took about a year. So don't be in a rush. If you see a step, take it.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah.
And then the next one won't be so little. You know what I mean? It's like... That's the way he did it for me. So... I think he'll do it that way with you.
Yeah,
little stuff. What's your name?
Peter.
Peter, yeah. Bless you.
Bless you.
Be bold, my friend.
Yeah.
Be bold.
Man, thanks.
It's the only way to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless you, Father. Poro sakara santo na basura. Father. I thank you, Lord, for a revelation for this man of your fatherhood. Lord, that you are his provider, his protector, and that you care for him in every facet of his life. Lord, that nothing is hidden from you and nothing is beyond your comprehension and your total and absolute control. Father, I release him now into your kingdom. I release him into your work, Father. And I loose him from every lie of the devil. I loose him from the lie of shyness. Yes, Lord. Brother, I release you from shyness in Jesus' name to rise to be the bold man of God that he has called you to be. Father, I give you this man. Oh, I give you this man for your service, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray for his opportunities for him to speak. I pray, Lord, you'll give him opportunity to rise up in faith and in spiritual authority, my Father. Pray for that anointing of authority to come on him, Lord, in Jesus' name, to stand in the face of any opposition. Any and every opposition, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name?
Ken.
Ken.
Yeah.
Bless you, Ken.
Yeah.
Bless you, Ken.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Just our bonus. We're just talking about being radical Christians last night. It's such a blessing.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You should have got up and preached.
Amen.
Look for boldness.
Yeah.
You'll need it.
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen, my brother, my friend, dear brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father God. Lord, look on this one. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Futa sakara subura dudamas. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord says to you that out of gentleness comes great strength.
Yes, Jesus.
Out of compassion comes incredible power. Oh, Father, I thank you for the anointing of compassion. Lord God. Oh, Lord God, thank you for a compassionate-hearted man. Thank you, my Father. Oh, Lord, we need more. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. I rebuke every lie, every demonic lie that is spoken into your life to tell you that you are less than accepted in the kingdom of God. Oh, Father, I thank you for this compassionate-hearted man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to open up the way for him and make level paths for his feet.
Jesus.
Lord God, that he can go forth in boldness and minister for you according to your plan and your purpose. And I rebuke shyness I rebuke timidity in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord,
yes,
I pray for authority to be the companion of compassion in this man's life.
Jesus.
The compassionate authority will rule and reign and be ministered through this man, Father, into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Far beyond.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord, of glory and honor and praise.
Amen.
Thank you, my
God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, precious Father, precious Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory.
Awesome. Oh,